come and preach. Alejandro Romero. How'd I do? I don't know. Okay, he can correct me afterwards. You know how great I am with names. When I'm reading scripture things. He is in his third year, right, at Gordon Conwell Seminary, a good school. And he's allowed me to get some needed work on my dissertation, which is great. Fun fact, he went to a Christian school in California that many of you have heard of called Azusa Pacific University. Yes, yes, the very same school where my Victoria and Allison, our two children have attended. One has graduated and one is in his junior year, you know that. So thankful to have him here with us to bring God's word. So thank you.
Morning.
Morning.
Let me just prove right here that I was present. So I want to thank Pastor Jason for having me here with you, worshiping and learning from the Lord together. As he has mentioned, it is a fun fact that when I got that in an email, that hey, my son and daughter went there. It was just pretty cool, just like release a little bit of pressure coming into an unknown area. 2 years ago, I moved from California to study over here at the seminary. And I was just like introduced to the snow, and I had to buy my boots, and I had to buy my coats and gloves and, you know, beanies. So I'm ready for this winter. So right there at that, in my alma mater, in Azusa Pacific, that is where I met, I love that school, and that is where I met my accountability group, which I still keep in touch with them. Two of them, well, one already got married last summer, and two have already proposed, and one of them has his wedding coming up this summer, which I'm really excited because I have the privilege to be one of his groomsmen. So I've been an usher and I've been a guest as well in previous weddings, but this is going to be the first time I'll be one of the groomsmen. So I do not know if we get like an even earlier invitation to the wedding, like the logistics and details and all that stuff. But I'm just ready to receive that card in my mailbox. And it's funny because going to the mailbox now has become more like a mystery box. I'm like, okay, am I going to get the invitation now or something else? So I go and I open it and I get a bill. I get propaganda. And last week I just got called into jury duty, so yeah. So I got called several years ago now, but I postponed that. But now they caught me. So let's head back. So in that same way that we oftentimes find ourselves with eagerness to receive something we know that it's on our way, we're called to envision and prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord. And I just God is sovereign. You know, before the throne of God and hymn 92 that we just sang, I mean, they all point to Jesus being the Lamb. And they all point to the text that we're going to read right now. So if you turn with me to your Bibles, right there, we're going to go and read Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 9. And we'll see a specific event that will take place after Jesus comes for us. It says, this is an ESV version, just so you know. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." And the angel said to me, "Write this: blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper." of the land. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. This is the word of the Lord. Before moving forward with this passage, for context purposes, let me just tell you a little bit of the book of Revelation. Some of you know, the book of Revelation is known to be quite apocalyptic. However, there are good news within as well. The book of Revelation is very symbolic with many imageries, so it shouldn't be taken literally. It begins with seven unique letters to seven different physical churches in Asia Minor, coming from Jesus himself that provided commendation, criticism, and comfort. After the deliverance of these seven letters, we see judgment poured out on all the wicked in the metaphoric language described in the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls. And right here we see beasts of all kinds with all kinds of horns in their heads, and many heads as well. However, after all this distress, we're able to witness in this reading as well that everything will be alright through the pride that Jesus Christ brings. As an effect, rebellion and sin are put to an end by Satan's doom. 10,000 years and the throne of judgment are noted. And finally, we can appreciate a new heaven and a new earth being established. And this is where we go. Right before the new heaven and the new earth are established. So, as I am anticipating this invitation, my friend, and knowing the dates that are coming up this summer, I need to know because I need to book a ticket for the flight, and I need to schedule as well some courses and other stuff like that. I have this anticipation, and it's a beautiful. I like going to weddings. My favorite moment of a wedding is when they share the vows between each other, and that is just promising to each other faithfulness. And we see in the Bible God most all the time just keeping his side of the battle when he begins his covenant with his people. So marriage is a key metaphor in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is used to describe God's relationship with his people. This tells us that the God of the Bible wants to take his people into intimate relationship with him. Throughout the Old Testament, Israel is a bride. And Israel is called towards marital faithfulness, and oftentimes condemned for marital unfaithfulness. We see this in Isaiah and in Hosea. In the book of Mark 2, chapter 2, verse 19, Jesus describes his relationship to his disciples as a wedding. He asks, "Can the wedding guests feast?" Fast. We're going to see these later on. Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? And Jesus goes on to characterize his ministry in the kingdom and the kingdom of heaven as a wedding banquet to which, for the most part, the invitations have been rejected. And here in Revelation 19, we see the culmination of God's long history of pursuing of people into himself and culminating in a banquet, a party with eating, and music, and joy. Doesn't it sound fun? This is exceptional news. This is the gospel. Brothers and sisters, friends, rejoice, for we are seeing our future. We're seeing a glimpse of it. We're seeing this future glory that is described also in Romans chapter 8. It's like, For those who are sports enthusiasts, imagine your favorite sports team or favorite athlete coming right here in New England. I believe there's a lot of Patriots fans, but I saw that Pastor Jason is on the other side. growing up in California, I was Dodgers and Clippers and Kings. However, ever since 2001, I was in fourth or fifth grade, my grandma gifted me this Patriot jacket. And it just happened to be in 2001 that they won the first, the Patriots won their first Vince Lombardi. So ever since then, I've been a Patriot fan because I stuck with it, because I was getting stepped on my toes left and right in elementary school. So I just carried that to junior high and high school. So I'm glad to be here in England. However, when it comes to baseball, it's when I get stepped on my toes. It never ends. So just imagine your favorite team in this, in the biggest match, and they win this big and important match that they'll be against biggest opponents of all time. Not only are you witnessing this event, but you're also called by the athlete himself or by the coach to come with them and celebrate and just have a wonderful time with them. That'll be awesome, right? Yeah. It's a great fantasy to have with your Patriots fan or Steelers fan. Now have that in mind and combine it with your graduation, the birth of your firstborn, combine it with your promotion, your wedding, your honeymoon. Combine all that with the happiest day of your life. What we're witnessing right here in Revelation 19:6-9, the marriage supper of the Lamb, cannot be compared whatsoever to anything of that combined, because we are present in our full redemption, celebrating victory with our Lord and Savior Jesus, and the life with our groom. And where there is marriage, there is a reception, a feast. In this case, the feast that awaits us is described intentionally as supper, because it is meant to take us back to the establishment of Jesus' new covenant, which the prophet Jeremiah spoke about in chapter 31, where God's law will be written in our hearts and placed in our inner beings, in our guts, where we'll be finally be able to keep it. We're not able to keep it right here because we're still clothed in flesh. But we look forward to that event when we'll be able to keep the law and be in perfect unity with God. Something that we long for right here. As we celebrate the Eucharist, whether it is once every week or once every month, we remember two things: Christ's sacrifice in Christ's second coming. We remember when Jesus broke bread and drank from the fruit of the vine that represents his broken body and poured out blood for us. We delight in his presence as we remember his unconditional love shown there in the cross. And we rejoice in his promise that he will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when he drinks it new in the kingdom with us, the church. This celebration wouldn't be possible if it were not for the Lamb, the perfect sacrifice. Jesus, our King. The word Lamb is a very known title for Jesus that has its root all the way back in the book of Genesis with Abraham, as he almost sacrifices Isaac, but the Lord provided a lamb, which alludes to Jesus. We see the metaphoric language of the lamb as describing the remission, Jesus' title, because he remissioned our sins. In Isaiah 53, we also see the suffering servant being compared as a lamb that is led to slaughter. For he did not open his mouth to prove his innocence, nor to defend himself. Something that is highlighted in the Gospels after Jesus is betrayed and on his way to the cross. It is because of the Lamb's blood that cleanses us from all iniquity, makes us a new creation, and draws us near into the family of God. You see, the cross is that invitation that is already right there in our mailbox. It happens. It is God's biggest demonstration that God wants us to be with Him. He's just waiting for us to accept it and to anticipate that waiting that awaits us. Jesus desires you. Jesus loves you. Are we willing? Are you willing to accept this invitation? If you receive this invitation already, are you able to rejoice right now? If so, great. Keep rejoicing. Keep preparing yourself as we together await our Lord's coming. If not, where are your eyes looking forward to? Philippians 4:4-7 reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So whether we have accepted this invitation, have replied already, you know, "I'm coming and this is how many people I hope to bring with me," let us rejoice. We're called to rejoice. We're called to not be anxious. And we are able to do this by having our eyes fixed in God, in Jesus. We can get pressures and stresses from our jobs, from relationships, family, and other stuff, even traffic. But we're called to fix our eyes in Jesus. We're called to have hope. And that hope that lasts, that hope that matters, is the one that comes from God. And this has to do a lot with eschatology. Eschatology is the study of the last things. And this is the main reason why I became a believer. I committed believer. I grew up in the church. However, when I went to ATU, I went in as a math major. But I had to take one class, and that Bible class was Luke Acts. That class changed my whole perspective. And having a logical background, I thought, okay, what's going to happen in the next 8 years? I may enjoy life, I may live however I want. Now I'm pursuing this American dream. I'm going to make my family proud. However, is that it? And after reflecting a lot on the future, our time is limited right here. What's going to happen after? So because of that initial thought, I changed my major to biblical studies at ATU, and that is the reason why I transferred, I continued right here at the seminary. Because I want to share what God told me, what God has been instilling in me as well, which is that what really matters in this life is our life. How is our life with Him? Do we have an intimate relationship with Him? Are we responding to this invitation that He has planted in us? Do we care? So, as we look towards the future, whether it is material stuff right here, whether it is looking for our promotion, whether it is looking for the next iPhone or the next Pixel or the next car model, I invite us all to stretch that vision and look past this material life and look towards God, look towards being with God, because this is what matters. So whatever state we find ourselves in, again, I cannot stress this enough, I invite us all to fix our eyes in Jesus. And as we have our eyes fixed in Jesus, let us rejoice. Let us rejoice and really declare that Christ is our anchor, that Christ is our rock, that no matter what problems may arise, what problems we might find ourselves in currently right now, that God is with us. He's not going to abandon us. He's always with us. We may not see Him with our physical eyes, but we have His image, and we have our spirit, which He connects to us through His Spirit. So rejoice. There is no limit as to how much we can approach God right now. So I invite us all to receive this message of hope and of love, and to look forward to what really matters as we are encouraged by this event that's certainly going to happen if you believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Let us be encouraged as just this glimpse of victory. Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for this space and time. Thank you for your Word. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you, God, for your Spirit, which allows us to understand, God, your Word. Thank you for knowing our needs, because you know that we need security. You know that we need hope. And God, you provide that through your Word. God, may you open our eyes and may you open our ears to what you say, God, about us and to us. God, I pray that this reality that awaits us, God, with you, may become a more realer reality. Thank you for this church, God. Bless them, protect them, God. God, and may your will be done, God. May your will still be done right here, God. And as we walk out and get ready for tomorrow, God, may we glorify your name. May you remind us of your words. God, that you are with us. Give us the strength, God, to keep moving forward in this life as we pursue, God, this crown of life that you have made out for us. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.